We're going to take a break from the Gospel of John today. Because amongst my heaviness of heart, I was instructed by Jamie to get encouraged. And I found encouragement in the most dangerous places. But that encouragement led to more heartache. It led to more concern. What does it mean to not be ashamed of the gospel? What does it mean to stand for the word of God? Because my heart has been heavy, I wanted to step away from the Gospel of John for a minute and let you know that during these last month or month and a half, I have been severely challenged. I've been challenged as a husband. I've been challenged as a father. I've been challenged as a friend, as an artist, as a pastor. I've been challenged as a man. And if I know that this is happening to me, and I'm the least of all of you, I know it's happening to you too. This challenge has been heavy on my heart, and it has kept me in the constant state of wonder, uncertainty, fear, frustration, and even regret. Let me explain something to you all, and I want you to take this to the bank. Ministry is not easy. Well, Lawan, you're speaking about yourself. I'm speaking to you all too, because all of you have your own ministry. You may not be a pastor of a church, but you're a person that says hello to someone on a daily basis. You're someone that may pray for someone on a daily basis. You have a ministry, each and every one of you. The mission of ministry is not an easy task. The mission of praying for somebody, praying for their salvation, sharing the gospel with somebody is not an easy task. And being a person of leadership in that is even harder. To be a Christian, spreading the gospel, teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel to people leads us to a constant state of wonder, uncertainty, fear, and regret. The question I ask myself every single day is, how can I, being the least among all of you, be put in a position like this? Between point A and point B, I like to think that I have not forgotten where I came from, but I remember it even more. In ministry, and yes, I'm talking about your ministry too, it's hard. There's no easy does it. We live in a culture today where we look for the quick pill, the lose weight pill. You take this pill and you're going to drop 50 pounds in 2 hours. That'd be pretty awesome. No. You want to lose weight? You want to feel better? You change how you eat. You change your activities. You work hard for it. You work diligently for it. There is not an easy way to just take a pill and all of it to be better. In ministry, when it comes down to sharing the gospel with somebody, witnessing to someone, we look at it and we think that it's an easy pill. All we have to do is pray for them and the Holy Spirit is going to come in and just change their lives forever. Does that happen? Oh, yeah, it has. But not all the time. Sometimes it takes work. Sometimes you have to water that seed and you don't see the plant sprout out yet. Sometimes you just have to enjoy watering the ground. We are okay with working hard until it's hard. Did you hear me? We are okay with working hard until it gets hard. We are okay with being challenged by an opponent that we know we can beat. No problem. Challenge me all day. I already got you beat. It's okay. We're okay with walking the tightrope knowing that we have the safety net. But what if you don't have those things? What if you don't know your opponent? What if you're guaranteed that it's going to be hard every single day? That is the ministry. That is my ministry. That is your ministry. And that is the ministry of Grace Bible Church of Oxnard. It's hard. I was asked, do I get fear standing up before you? Don't know how to answer that question. But I could tell you that every day is a terrifying thing. Every day I wonder that I pray long enough. Every day I wonder if I properly prepared. It's not easy. But me sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel before all of you is imperative. You sharing the gospel with your friends is imperative. You sharing the gospel with your neighbor, praying, is imperative. Why is it imperative? Why is it so important? We'll get to that in a minute. It's not about comfort level. It's not about feeling good as you do it. Sometimes we're going to be in an uncomfortable situation where people are not going to like us because of us sharing the gospel. Look at the examples of the apostles in the early church. People were murdered. Their whole families were massacred for the gospel. Since when did you ever think that it was going to be easy? But it's needed. Would you all agree? So it's okay for you to feel uncomfortable talking to somebody about the gospel that you've known all your life, and all of a sudden now they look at you differently. We're afraid of men. It's about being comfortable. If I can share the gospel with you and feel comfortable, then I'll do it all day. But what happens when you're not comfortable? Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We are going to discuss our ministry. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, and if you are there, please say amen. Amen. Oh, wow, you're already there. Okay. What does it say? Verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So, for my part, I eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Well, Lawan, what does this verse have to do with what we're talking about right now? Let's look at Paul. Paul makes it clear in verse 13 that he does not want this group of Roman, this Roman church, these Rome Christians, to be unaware that he has made every intention to go and to visit with them. But he has been prevented. He expresses here that he plans to visit with these believers in which he is comfortable with, these believers in which he knows. But he has been prevented. He wanted to visit with them so that he can get some fruit, some benefit from them, and that he can benefit them also. Paul wanted to be in this comfortable situation. He wanted to be comfortable with people that he knew, people that was easy for him to deal with, but he was prevented. He was forbidden. He was restricted from doing that. It is okay to talk about the Bible amongst people that like the Bible. You understand, listen to what I'm saying to you. It is easy for us to talk the Bible to people that like the Bible. It's harder to preach the Bible to people that love the Bible. Because they're hanging on every word you're saying. I can talk to you about the Bible all day long. We could talk it. Are we living it? Are we quoting it? Are we in the Word of God? Paul is saying here that he is wanting to come and visit and to share in the joy of the gospel with other believers in an easier, more relaxed setting. But he's been prevented to do that. Why has he been prevented to do that? Well, it answers that question in verse 14. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul explains it like this: I am obligated to, I am in debt to, I am liable to preach to the Greeks. We know who the Greeks are. And to the barbarians. What does that mean? Are we talking about he's supposed to be preaching to Conan? These uba guga uga uga mean guys from the movie Gladiator, which I know all of y'all seen, okay? I know you've seen it, okay? Is that what he's talking about? Sure. He's talking about those. He's talking about, when we talk about the barbarians, he's talking about people that are foreign. People that are outsiders. Paul is saying, I'm obligated to share the gospel with the Greeks, but I'm also obligated to share the gospel with the foreigners. With the people that you don't know about, the barbarians. He also says, I'm obligated to preach the gospel to the wise, the skilled, the intelligent, the educated, and I'm also obligated to preach to the unwise, the not that smart, the you know what I mean, those, not so wise, not so smart. You understand that he is saying that I'm obligated to preach to the educated and the uneducated, in other words. So not only am I obligated to preach to the Greeks and to the foreign people, but I'm obligated to also preach the gospel to the people that are wise and the people that are unwise. Paul does not put himself as a pastor of a particular group. Do you see that? He doesn't say I'm a pastor of only this demographic. He is there to preach to everyone. He is there to preach to the people that are PhDs and the people that are not even finished with high school yet. He's obligated to preach to the people that have written books and people that can't read. He is obligated to preach to all people. That is his obligation. When we're talking about Paul, we're not talking about me. You're 100% right. We are talking about Paul, but there's some benefit here. Because when Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, he was talking to everyone that is a follower of him. He did not say go and make disciples of all nations and only baptize this particular demographic and teach this demographic to obey all that I've commanded you. He said just go and make disciples of all nations, of all ethnicities, all people. Paul is eager and ready and willing to teach the gospel to all people. So, even though Paul wants to be in a place of comfort, wants to be in a place that he knows, wants to be in a place that feels good, he is indebted, he is liable, he is ready, and he is eager to preach the gospel to all people. He is ready to go. Well, that's great, Luan. Why? We have to remember that Paul, for those of you, some of you know Paul's resume. He gives his resume. Some of us know what Paul went through. Stoned. Had to play dead. Shipwrecked. Not to mention he had a thorn in the flesh, which we don't know really what that is. Some people say he had problems with his eyesight. Some people said that he had problems walking and traveling. Not to mention, he was in prison. This brother done been through. We're going through the book of Galatians. He's in prison when he's writing that letter. I'm sorry, Philippians. Did I say Philippians? Okay, I don't know why I thought I said Galatians. Did I say Galatians or Philippians? I'm sorry, Galatians 2. But Philippians, he's in prison. Sometimes, humanly, Paul would like to be in his comfort zone. I feel comfortable speaking to these people. I feel comfortable having communion and fellowship with these people. But he is willing to sacrifice it all for the gospel. The gospel is more important than his comfort level. The gospel is more important than his comfort level. Why? Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to those who believe. To the Jews first, also to the Greek. I am not ashamed. I am not painfully feeling bad about it. I don't have a sense of loss. I am not in shame. I am not embarrassed by the gospel. Why, Paul? I'm going to tell you why. Because it is the power of God to salvation. Now, we've talked about this before. Why am I mentioning it again? Because I am seeing more people more concerned about sacrificing the gospel to make sure we have more people in their seats. We sacrifice the gospel to make sure that we don't offend anybody. We sacrifice the gospel so that we feel comfortable. Well, the Bible didn't really say that. It's maybe taken out of context. The gospel is the good news. And I know I've shared this already, but I'm going to share it again in the context of this sermon. The gospel is the telling of the good news. It is the hope that man has with renewing the relationship with God. We are at war with God when we are born. When we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord, now we have fellowship with Him. The hope that we have is the gospel. That's the only hope that we have. Take whatever cause you want in the world. I want to fight for world hunger. I want to go against abortion. I want to go and I want to deal with women's rights. And all of a sudden there's going to be a march that's taking place. You go to that march. Let's say we'll use women's rights. You go to this march for women's rights. Are you ashamed of it? No. Why? Because I want these rights to be considered by our government, correct? So I'm standing for these rights. If that means that I have to be arrested, so be it. If that means I have to be belittled, so be it. If it means that I have to hurt my feet walking an extra 5 miles to do it, so be it. I'm not ashamed of it because my cause will take place. Paul is saying, and what every single one of you should be saying, is that the gospel is the only way of salvation. So guess what? Whatever it takes. If it means that I have to be ridiculed, then fine. If that means I have to be demonized in my own city, then fine. You know why? Because people's salvation means more than my comfort. People's salvation, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, is more valuable, more important for the eternal state of who we are than making sure that we deal with the vapor of right now. There's people that are older that I dealt with. When I say deal with, I'm not talking about like a negative. That I was in contact with at the manor, at the senior citizen facility, that sat there and said, "Luan, how old are you?" I tell them how old I am. Man, make sure you live your life. If you want to travel, travel the world, see the world. Stop worrying about all these other things, these trivial things. Live life. Be happy with what you do. Because you know what? When your life is all over and you're at the end and you think about it, you're going to say, "Man, I wish I would have done this." Or, "I wish I would have, could have experienced that." The biggest advice I've gotten from people in their 90s was to live life and enjoy life. From a Christian perspective, we can live a great life on this earth. It means absolutely nothing if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ when it's all said and done. Yes, we may have a monument built to us. But that monument will quickly fade away. Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel, meaning that he is going to fight for the gospel, the good news, the hope of salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. The power of God to salvation. The power of God. It's a force, it's a bang, it's like dynamite. It is so powerful. Because it gives salvation. And it says to everyone who believes. Who's everyone? Does that mean that we're talking about a particular group? No, we're talking about everyone who believes. Every single person, every single one of us that we believe. What does that mean to believe? Oh, I believe that I'm going to sit in your... I believe I can go down in the front row and sit in the chair and the chair's not going to break. I'm not talking about that belief. We're talking about the word believe as in to trust in, to depend on, and to be dependent upon. It's not just believe. It's deeper than that. Those who hope in the Lord. And he says to the Jews first, also to the Greek. Well, Luan, what does that mean? It's very simple. When Paul was doing his ministries, he would always preach in the synagogues first. It got to the Jews first. Salvation was to the Jews first. Now it's to the Greeks. Now it's to the Gentiles. It's to everybody. The gospel was first given to a nation of people, that one nation, Israel. Now it's for everybody. That was Paul's pattern. Verse 17, it says, "For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." For in it, for in what? The gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, which means it's not about our works. It's about our faith. We're saved by grace. The righteousness of God. In God's word, we get the righteousness of God. It builds our faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. There's other Bible verse in the Old Testament that supports that is the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says the exact same thing. "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." Our trust in the Lord. There's a gospel that we need. This gospel here, we need. We need it. It's our only hope of salvation. Jesus told Peter, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Upon what rock? Upon Peter? Some people will say, "Oh, well, that proves that Peter was the first pope." No. No. Peter said, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." Upon that rock, the fact that we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that rock is going to build his church. He is going to build his church. My hope for this congregation is that we are on fire and rooted and grounded in God's word. If I can't do that, I don't want to be here. We need the gospel. We need to, we, not just me, we, all of you, I'm putting you all, we're all together. We're all on the same, we're not all on the same page, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, y'all are all higher than I am. Okay? Now, we can argue about that if you want to, but you're not going to change my mind. I am beneath all of you. We all need to share the gospel because it's the only thing that's going to save from eternal separation from God. We need to stop just talking about it. Well, praise God, you know, blah, blah. No. We start getting into the Word of God. You understand that there's a lot of people that talk the Bible but don't teach it? Would you guys all agree with me with that? Do you know that there's a difference between talking the Bible and teaching it? Is it wrong to just talk the Bible? I believe that there's nothing wrong with just talking the Bible, but it gets to a point where we need to start teaching it. It gets to a point that we need to start living it. Quoting it. I try to stand before you all right now and tell you, okay, when I quote scripture, I try to make sure I show you where it's at. Because you know how many people talk the Bible and don't even quote the Bible? Oh, brother, praise God. You know the Bible says, "Come as you are," book, chapter, and verse. Well, you know, the Bible says, "Cleanliness is next to godliness," book, chapter, and verse. You guys are quoting stuff. It's not even in the Bible. Very interesting. Almost as silly as a gentleman that I met a while ago. Oh, you're in seminary. Yeah, I am. Oh, I was done at seminary at that particular moment. So I guess you're going to like my tattoo. Okay? Had it back here where shoulder blades is, written in Hebrew. Yeah, John 3:16 in Hebrew. I bet you don't know nothing about this. Sure. It had been a while since I've taken Hebrew, and everybody that knows to take the languages, if you don't spend time in the daily, you start to have the leak. We talked about that last week, the Greek leak. I had a Hebrew leak. I hadn't read Hebrew in a year. But I knew some of the words. I said, that's John 3:16. Yeah. I said, why did you decide to get that? Well, you should know. You're a Bible guy, right? You should know. I'm getting the Bible. This is the original language. Not for the New Testament, is it? You are wrong, my friend. You decided to get a Hebrew written. The New Testament is written in Greek. He didn't know. Tried to challenge me on that. And like I said, it was okay for the challenge because it was a good challenge. But it's like he didn't even realize he should have got it written in Greek if he wanted to be authentic about the original languages. When it comes down to God's word, we need to stop just playing storefront. How many of you believe in God's word? Please raise your hands. How many of you believe that is the power for salvation? Then why aren't we teaching it? Why are we just talking about it? Diligently search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. You know that when Jesus was going through the temptation, you understand that Satan was giving him Bible verses, right? Did y'all realize that? Okay, I just want to make sure. There was a video that came out with a pastor who I do not support in any way, shape, or form, okay? But it was very effective. He was trying to shock and awe his congregation. He came up with a recording, had a little performance take place where there was a casket in the front of the church, and there was a woman crying and couldn't, and there was a guy inside the casket. And they're trying to do a service, and all of a sudden you hear the guy's voice, and he's talking. I'm sure some of you may have heard this. Some of you that are maybe younger than I am have heard this. This little audio clip, and this guy is saying, man, I didn't realize that I was going to die so quickly, you know. And yeah, you know, this is crazy. I can feel better. I feel more than I've ever felt. I can smell better than I can smell. I can, my senses are all greater. And he's talking to his friend who died with him. And he said, but these people in dark places are coming after me. They're grabbing me. I'm without hope. The fire, I can't even begin to describe how it feels. And all the time I'm thinking about you. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? And then he says, P.S., your friend, P.S., I wish you were here. Dramatic? Sure. Point remains the same. How many of us are believers? We're just talking about the Bible. We're not teaching the Bible. We need to teach the gospel. Well, what is the gospel, Lawan? I'm glad you asked. We talked about it already. Man sinned against God. One man sinned against God, and it affected the entire race of human beings. We are all at war with God. We deserve nothing but total separation from Him from the moment that we are conceived. God attempted throughout the scriptures we see here, we see a bunch of men. There's only one man here that is holy. There's only one man here that is perfect and without sin. In this entire book, everything else in this book are full of sinful, perverted, horrible men and women making worldly decisions having sinful results of those decisions. We are all born into sin, and God was attempting to bring judges, people to come and help these people, but these people continued to work naturally. Guess what? The statement of born this way. You know what? It's funny that they use that for the LGBTQ, T123, ABC, FYG, whatever you want a letter you want to put into it, plus, minus, and divided. I don't know, but here's the thing. What's funny is they say born that way. I say we were all born that way. We were all born into sin. We are without hope. There is no hope for us when we are born into sin. We are born into sin. We are born alienated from God. We are born at war with Him. We are born literally despising Him. But God, being rich in mercy, came down to this earth, fulfilled all of the laws that man could not. You understand that when we talk about Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all of these Old Testament books, you understand that there was a law given and everyone failed at it? We violate one law, we violated them all. But God, Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name did many wonderful works? And he will say, depart from me, I never what? Thank you. That means these are people in the church. These are people on TV. These are people that say, I'm a Christian. You understand that when I was in the military, for those of you that were in the military, you understand that everybody in the military had a job. My job started off working in dentistry, ended up working in field medicine with the Marine Corps, fixing bullet wounds and sucking chest wounds and all that type of stuff during the war. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. That's great. We love you. Thank you for your service. All this type of stuff, right? I'm not saying that to be mocking. I'm just simply saying that it's very interesting, as we talked about on Wednesday night, how much things changed when you're not in anymore. But the point is that I had all of these different things. When you understand that I was a surgery tech working in pediatric surgery my last 2 years in the Navy, working with babies under general anesthesia. I had a great experience. I also took x-rays of people that died in the war. My qualifications, pretty high. How many jobs called me when I got out? Not one. Forget all your qualifications. It meant nothing. Why? I can't go in there, and even though I'm doing nurse work, I can't go in there and be a nurse because I got out of the military. No. I have to have the qualifications and the training according to the civilian world. Now, if I came into the Navy as a nurse, I can leave as a nurse. But I came in as a 19-year-old kid and got out as a 24 guy who was skilled with everything but was qualified for nothing. All I can do is go and become an EMT. I couldn't even be a paramedic. I had to do more school for that. I did school for EMT, was EMT for a hot second. Didn't like the fact that they were paying lower than minimum wage for a high-level job in the sense of, you know, those things. The point is that I had the experience. I didn't have the paperwork. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name did many wonderful works, did all these great things. Jesus says, I never knew you. You did all these great things, but you did not focus on the one thing. Getting to know me. I do not know you. I do not have an intimate relationship with you. Do you want to be responsible for that? Jesus is asking you to have a relationship with Him. We have been born into sin. We are at war with God. We are on a battlefield. The good news, the gospel is that we do not have to be at war with God anymore, but now we can have an intimate, personal relationship with Him that will last throughout the totality of eternity. That is the gospel. That's the good news. My heart is heavy because I am tired of people not wanting to teach the gospel. That's why my heart is heavy. Teach the gospel. Because that's the only hope that we have. If I'm sitting on a ship and you're down in the water in the ocean asking me to help, and I'm sitting there telling you, well, the Lord's going to provide a way, and I got a safety net right here. I have one of those floaty things on the side of me, and I have a boat behind me, but I refuse to throw it out. What good am I? It's the same way when you sit there and you want to say, well, yeah, praise the Lord, but you don't, no, you don't teach the gospel. Throw these life ropes out to people. Let them know that there's a way, that Christ is the only way. Now, if they choose not to take the rope, that's on them, but you threw it out. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We are not ashamed, and we shall not be ashamed. It's not about being attractional here. It's not about being attractional. If we want to build the numbers up in this church, let's teach the gospel. If you all feel that you're being fed by the Lord using me as an instrument, because I'm not doing anything, I'm doing nothing, the Lord is doing it all, then stay. Or come to me and tell me, hey, you know, by the way, the Lord is using you. Awesome, praise God, it gives me hope. Because the Lord is using me, but I'm not qualified. When it comes down to it, We have to teach and preach and live the gospel. That's why we have the Bible read through. Read the scriptures. I've seen people, and I'm not going to point them out, I've seen people in this church that have grown. Bible study, you raise their hand up. Well, the Greek word means this. Oh, wow, you're blowing me up. Word studies. It's awesome. Teach the Bible. Live the Bible. Pray the Bible. Trust in God. He's going to make a way. But it's hard when we have people that want to stand by and just watch the show. It's not about being attractional. If I cared about how many people were here in this church, we would be playing snippets of Scarface and giving biblical value. Y'all know the movie Scarface, right? Come on, don't act like y'all ain't seen no Scarface. Come on now. All right? If I wanted to be attractional, if myself and the elder board, if we wanted to be attractional, we would show snippets of Scarface and say, how does this have to relate to the Bible? If that was the case, we would be singing Kanye West samples. Just because it says Jesus walks doesn't mean he's talking about our Lord. We're not doing that. We are going to sing songs that have theological backing in it. And until you could quote me a Bible verse that of Kanye West and tell me where is in the Bible that he got it from, then maybe we'll consider it. Until then, let's just focus on the truth of God. I'm not interested in us being attractional, because that's when we start to compromise the power of God for salvation. Because we're more concerned about who's sitting in the seats. Now that I got all that out, understand this. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. Understand this, that as you go out throughout the week, see, us coming together on Sunday is nothing more but a jump start of what you're already doing. Right? If you're into God's word and you're praying every single day, okay, great. If you want to say, you know, I want to share the gospel with somebody because it's been on my heart, great. We're here to encourage one another and build each other up. But understand, this is the reason why I want to preach the gospel. It's because it is the power of God to salvation. I can be in my comfort zone in Riverside with a bunch of yes people. Or I could be challenged weekly by people like Cheryl. Oh, I mean, I didn't mean to say that out loud. I'm sorry. Let me explain something to you. My heart is heavy. My heart is heavy. And when I tell you my heart is heavy, I want you to believe me. But I don't regret it one bit. My heart is heavy. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. But I praise God for it, and I don't regret one second of it. Because it is for the building of God's kingdom. And if I die brokenhearted, materialistically, that's fine. As long as God's word is going forth. So please, y'all. Teachers, I hate to give this to you before you guys got to do your presentations. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to water down God's word to make other people feel good. Those that want to leave can walk out and they can find a church that's going to cater to their needs. We are going to be Bible-based. We will be a Berean church. Search the scriptures to see if it's so. And for those of you that have contacted me through a text message or phone call, I have not rejected y'all yet. So have no problem contacting me. Go ahead, let's do it. Even if you stump me up, which Cheryl does all the time. And I would be remiss not to mention her close good friend, Wanda. they have that look that when you look at them and they give you that look, you already know you're in trouble. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel. I love you all very, very much. But let us not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is so imperative, especially now in the time that we're living in now. The wars are all going on. They're talking about we're on the brink of World War III. The gospel. Search your heart. Clean your own house. Get your house in order so that you'll be ready. There's a famous song I remember. I'm getting my house in order so I can be ready. Get your house in order. Evaluate your own lives. Get it in order. And then be ready. Because when the Lord comes, he ain't going to wait for you. Oh, let me make sure you get yourself ready. Get yourself in order now through the word. And then we can share the gospel to the world.